How are we all? Good? Very good. Okay, I wanted to say thanks for the worship team leading us so well into God's presence, and it was wonderful. And thanks, Michelle, for reading out 2 Samuel 9, which is what we're going to be speaking about this morning. One of the stories of King David and his kingdom, and really think it's really important for us sometimes to look back at King David, because one of the things that was said about King David was that he was a man after God's own heart. So we can sometimes look to David to see God, but also see a little bit of us in that too. You know what I mean? There's a bit of us in David, and there's a bit of God in David, in his heart, and so it's good for us to see that. So we're going to look at that. 3,000 years ago, this happened. A fair while ago, Kat. Yeah? One of the things that talked about in that passage is about King's Table. As we can see behind us, we have a table full of wonderful food and drink that we're going to need some people to help us with in a sec. But first, I want to talk about this idea of the King's Table. Throughout history, throughout all sorts of places, in fact, even now, in some places in dictatorships, there was a thing called the King's Table, the place, the inner sanctum, the people that the king trusted was brought to, that he included in, were those people of political power or the army, like they do now, or I'd say warriors, or his family, the people that he completely trusted to look out for him, to serve him and keep the power of his kingdom going. He would invite to his table where they would decide the things of the kingdom. Obviously, eat together. They're the closest people. Yeah? I'm sure when you think about that, you even have a bit of a table of a few that exist at your table that you trust and speak to. But we're going to look at David's table. And so I'm going to need, I definitely need help from Kat. Who knows this? Might put his hand up very quickly because this is true. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how are you going?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's good. So we're not going to need not just you, are we, today?
No.
We're going to need some other people to help us walk through this story.
Correct. Yep. Shall we get that started?
Let's do that.
All right. We need to bring up some mighty warriors today. So if you're feeling like a mighty warrior, get ready. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, we can read about some of these mighty warriors. The first one we're going to bring up today is called Josheb-Bashebeth. He was a chief of the officers. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter.
Wow.
Who's feeling brave?
That's a serious
Who's
warrior.
Who's feeling like a warrior?
Wow. I think I might go with an someone who's done that, someone distinguished, someone that looks like an older warrior here.
I've got some props to make you feel brave.
Oh, really? I think Mark's looking brave today. Who thinks Mark's looking brave today? Yes? Well done, Mark. Okay.
Come on up. Take your sword. Take your place at the table.
Take your place at the table. Yes, on the outside, yeah. All right, great. So that was Josheb. I'm not going to go with the whole lot. Josheb? Josheb, how are you? Good. Feel free. You can, like, pour
you
yourself.
Can get stuck into the table.
You're part of the king's table.
You are. All right.
All right.
The second person, the second mighty warrior we need to bring up is Eleazar.
Who's that, sorry?
Eleazar.
Oh, Eleazar. Mm. All right.
And so he was a part of a great battle, but some of the men left him, and so he was left standing all by himself. But he stuck his ground against the Philistines, and he held the sword so tight his hand froze to it.
Whoa.
Yep, that's pretty tight.
That is pretty tight.
And there was victory on that day.
Of course there was. Okay, so who's looking like an Eleazar today? Let's have a look over this side of the room.
Got Everyone's, some more props.
No one wants to give me eye contact now. But Alison, you just did. Eleazar.
Well done, Alison.
Wonderful.
Here you go.
You have a wonderful helmet.
You are a mighty warrior.
Yep. Good work.
Come and join our table.
Join the table on the outside over here. Great. Who else is at the king's table? So we've got some mighty warriors here.
We do.
And we're going to continue with them more.
We
sure do. To look after the king. Who you can trust.
Benaiah is the next person we need. Now, what's so special about this man is that he went down into a pit that was snowy and killed a lion.
Oh, killed a lion.
He also struck down a huge Egyptian.
Very good.
With a club.
Okay. I think David definitely wanted him at his table, didn't he?
He did. Even so much, he put him in charge of all of his bodyguards.
Wow.
So this guy is a bit of a
Okay, we need
top
someone
dog.
In charge. We need some youth, I think, to be in charge of the bodyguards. We need to be in charge of the bodyguards.
We've got your bat ready
Tyson,
to go.
Tyson, come on. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
You want to put that on? That makes you even more of a warrior.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, yes. Okay.
Brilliant.
Now, youthful exuberance. The others are being too polite not to eat and drink. So you will show us the way, won't you? It's there. Get started. Pour a drink for people. Here we go. Yes.
All right. We've got a few more to go.
All right.
So we need another warrior who is called Joab.
Joab.
Joab. Right. He killed 360 men.
360?
And then travelled all night to arrive in his destination the next day. So this guy has got good stamina.
This guy. All right. I can see a mighty warrior here. Yes.
I agree.
Who can come to the table?
These are yours, our mighty warrior friend.
Okay. Yes.
Go sit at that table.
Yes, wonderful.
Now, we're missing a few other people.
Okay, so we've got a lot of warriors here.
We do.
Helping out the king. Mm. Who else would be at that table then? Obviously,
well,
they have other people, but...
I think we need a queen, don't you reckon?
Oh, of course. A king definitely needs a queen.
Absolutely.
That is very true. Okay. Someone who's going to be intelligence.
Intelligent.
Beauty.
Beautiful.
Grace. Yep. Wisdom. Josh, of course you are.
Here we go. All right, my man.
Well done.
All right. Lucky
Beauty,
last.
Grace divine. Very good. Okay, there's only one seat left, so I'm guessing that is King David.
It is.
Awesome.
Our number one.
Person after God's own heart that's got a fabulous steed here. Do they get to, like,
ride in on? Oh, yeah, you can ride in on your horse.
I think someone needs to ride in on a horse. Yes!
There we go.
Lisa Marie.
You are the
All
king.
Right. Well done. Okay, I think you should give an applause to these wonderful actors who's going to...
Absolutely.
Feel free to start eating. Pass it round. Yep.
Yep. Now we need two more friends just to be on standby.
That's right.
Mm.
Part of the story from chapter 9, 2 Samuel. I'm reminded now we needed... Who was in the story? There was Ziba.
We've got Ziba.
Who was one of Saul's servants at some stage. And Mephibosheth. Okay. Mm. All right. So we need a servant type that's good with that type of thing. Hmm. They've already served us this morning and they don't know that they might be coming along as well. Trish, trying not to give me eye contact. I think you're going to be our Ziba. Would you like to come up and be Ziba? Thank Trish.
Good work, Trish.
Just sit at the front, Ziba. Yeah, you got a couple of lines, I think. And I'm looking for Mephibosheth, who was an important character but was crippled. Who could be a cripple for us? Anyone in this row like to be a cripple? Anyone? I think this one should be a cripple. Come on! Yes. Thank Mike for being a cripple.
Come on up.
Okay. Now, you were wondering why I was asking you something this morning. What did I ask you? I was standing up the front with Alison. What was it?
If I was wearing a belt.
Yes. Just check if he was wearing a belt. Are you able to take your belt off for us, mate? Please? Thank you. Okay. Now, I think you just need to tie it around your legs. Yeah? Because you need to be... Yeah. Your legs don't work, Mephibosheth. Okay? Thanks. You can try and sit down. Now. Very good. All right. Have we got everybody into character you feel like now,
We
Kat?
Have got everyone ready to go.
Fantastic. Okay. So we want to set the scene here. So obviously this is King David's table. Yep. And they're eating merrily and they're all happy to be there. Obviously, look at their faces. So happy to be there. Okay. What we want to know about this is this, again, like we said, this is the political table. This is the people that King David had on his inner sanctum, the people that he could trust, that he knew would serve him and look after him. Isn't that right, King David? Yes. Yeah. So he had some mighty, mighty warriors well known throughout his kingdom, yeah, to be there to look after him, that had a vested interest in his kingdom to keep going. Because obviously they're eating wonderful food, they're sitting at the table, they're included in his family. They want this to keep going. Well, also one of the things that would happen is that when a new king came in, as we know with this story, that King David took over from King Saul. And when a regime change happened in the East in this sort of time, quite often, who was at the king's table, these political power type people, they didn't stop being worries. But if they were signed up to the old king, what do you think the new king was going to do with them? Probably get rid of them. Yep. Unless they were able to show and prove that they were for the new king, the more likely to come in and go, oh, your services are no longer required and you no longer need your head. Yep. True? Yes. This is the type of thing that would happen. So for David, he's brought these warriors who showed him before that they were loyal, and obviously his beautiful queen was loyal and his family could be loyal, but he had to make sure that his people were loyal in this story. So this sets the scene for us to say, to speak the narration, doesn't it, Kat? So we have to think about this story from this sort of perspective. So do you want us to read from verse 1 in chapter 9?
Let's do it.
Okay.
So David asked, is there anyone still left at the house of Saul to whom I can show Hesed?
That's an interesting voice that you have. Do you want to read that again? Let's hear what people... Let's focus on this words. Yes, thanks, Lisa Marie. Oh, King David, sorry.
At your service. Is that the wrong line?
Oh, sorry. Is there anyone left? Is it there? Yes.
David and the king said to him, are you Ziba?
Oh, this is my fault. Is it on this? No. Yes, yes, it's up here. Yes, the one that isn't highlighted.
Is there anyone still left at the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?
Oh, very good. This word kindness is not really, it's probably a poor, what's the word I'm looking for? That's the one. Translation of this word. Because the word is chesed, or hased, or whatever you'd like to. You could hock up a loogie and then say said after it. Can you do that? Yeah, chesed. Yeah. I want everyone to try it. Yeah? Chesed. Chesed. Very good. Okay. This word is actually well known in the Hebrew Bible. It comes up a number of times, and it's usually used in reference to how God deals with people, in that it's about his steadfast love. So there's numbers of Psalms that have this word chesed in it, because it quite often comes up with this idea that his love endures forever. His love, that his love bit, is chesed. The idea even that it's redundant to put forever on the end of it, because it's his steadfast love. It's his loving kindness. It's his grace, his mercy. It's being in with God. His family. Yeah? In. Chesed is this idea. So right at the beginning, right with David, with his crew of the people for him, what he's actually saying for the people that were for the previous king, Saul, rather than actually saying, who's left of Saul's people that I need to kill off so that I can keep power, What he actually says is the exact opposite. He says, who is left that I can show God's steadfast love, that I can include in my family? Who's left? Isn't that staggering? That David come with God's love, God's own heart. Another example of David showing God's heart here, not the world's heart. What's normal is to do what? Kill off those people because they're going to be trouble. They're going to be trouble. And so, again, we know this story because of Jonathan and the love that David and Jonathan have for each other. He talks about who is it? Who is it of these people I can include and show this loving kindness to, show this steadfast love to? Okay. So he says again this, doesn't he? Who can I show? So, Kat,
should we find out yeah. who there is? So, there was a servant of Saul's house named Ziba. And Ziba, you come to King David. So, come on, Ziba. We're going to go for a visit to King David because he has summoned you.
Are you Ziba?
At your service, Ziba.
Is there still no one left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?
There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet.
Where is he?
He is at the house of Maacah, son of Ammiel, in Lo-debar.
Thank you, Ziba. Well done. Sit down for a sec. Okay. So I just want to ask, we'll talk a little bit about that. So Ziba, obviously, again, a servant of Saul. So there would be some worry about Ziba. But David wanted to find out who was left. He finds out that Mephibosheth, the crippled son that everyone forgot about, because Jonathan at this stage has died. All of Saul's family, mostly, had died because of the war that was going on between those two. This place, Lo-debar. If you actually translate it, it actually means nowhere. So Mephibosheth was nowhere. Was Ziba saying to him, he's nowhere. I don't know where he is. I don't know. I think he's trying to suggest that the place is maybe not the greatest place. How would you be if you lived in a town called Nowhere? Do you reckon you'd have a good self-esteem about your town? What do you reckon? Would you feel like you lived in Port Adelaide? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. I came out. I didn't mean to say that out loud. That was... No, Nowhere. Obviously, Mephibosheth was in some sort of hiding. Why would he be in hiding? Anyone? Exactly. Indeed, he was fearing his life. Mephibosheth actually was dropped as a baby and he became a cripple because of this. And obviously, in this society, he was considered marginalised, ostracised, not really part of even the family. Yeah? But Mephibosheth knew that technically he was and he needed to not be around. Yeah? So he was not around. In fact, sometimes this idea of crippled people in this, whether it was in and out, was almost that they were cursed. That something they did or something their family had did was the reason that he was there. You know what I mean? So he was a symbol almost of a curse. Let's go on with the story, Kat.
And so our friend Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and he bowed down to him to pay him honour. So up you come. Come and bow to the feet of our king. And as he came and bowed, our king said,
Mephibosheth.
And he says,
at your service, he replied.
That's right, said Wal.
Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table.
So now you need to come up and join the table.
Oh, we might need an actual chair. Now, just imagine if you were Mephibosheth, like we're saying, and you had just been called to David's table, what would you have been thinking? You would have been thinking, oh, no, this is it. There's no way out. There's no way out. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm Saul's grandson. I'm out of here. But then to be shown the loving kindness of God, to be not only just shown you're all right, but actually to be included at the table, essentially included in his family. Someone who was meant to be an enemy, shown loving kindness. How do you reckon Mephibosheth would have felt? Because it's not just this story, it's the story that the fact that he is crippled. Everything about Mephibosheth, just look at him. Everything about him means that he should not be there. Absolutely everything from a status point of view. But David said, no, you will eat with me and you will be my son. You'll be my son. This is chesed. This is chesed. If we want a picture of grace and mercy of God, this is that we are all included, that we all can be part of his family, that we all deserve his love and kindness. Isn't that a wonderful, touchy-feely story? Ah, oh, it's good. But just like the prodigal son story, how do you reckon these guys felt? How do you reckon you felt? Josheb, how would you feel about this guy turning up?
I just hope there's enough food for us all.
Well, there still is because you're not eating. Oh, you're on this there. Yeah. You reckon they'd be angry? You angry?
I'm absolutely angry.
Yeah. Someone's stealing your food, but not only that, for them, he's a symbol of a threat. If we talked about this being the political table of the people on God's side, on David's side, then he is a threat. He's not for him. He's for Saul. He was Saul's family. Not only that, all of these guys on this table would have thought, I deserve to be here. I've done something worthy of being at this table. All of these have fought lions, fought giant Egyptians. Fought so hard, the sword, like, stuck to my hand. Yeah. I killed 800 people to be at this table. And the queen, well, I guess she just looks beautiful, but, you know. But she has to put up with the king. Wow. But Mephibosheth was given and shown chesed. So they had a choice, didn't they? They had a choice whether they were going to do the same. Thanks, guys. Okay, thank these guys. Give them a clap. You can take your stuff off. You can sit down. You can go back to being... That's good. I think this story fits in and flows on a bit from what we were doing about this justice over the last few weeks. Doesn't it? Fits in with this reminder that we all can be part of God's family. And I told you a story, remember, about a family that threw a surprise birthday for me. You know, I told you that last week for those who might have been here. Well, I want to tell you about another family, actually, that included me. When I became a Christian and started going to Clovercrest in the 90s. Does that feel like a long time ago, Joey? Yeah. For Joey, that's ages ago. And first couple of years of being at Clovercrest and becoming a youth leader, getting to know the youth pastor, Mark Wilkinson, and his lovely wife, Lynn, are great people. And I sort of moved around a little bit at that time. I had a number of different houses. I'd stayed with some mates of mine in a share house, And then I stayed with the Weatherleys in one of their back rooms. And at the time, they were moving, changing residence, and I was sort of stuck in this place, didn't know where to go, trying to figure that out. And actually, Mark and Lynn put up their hand. They were a couple, didn't have kids at that stage in their 30s, busy people, but decided to put their hand up for this young 20s chaos person still trying to figure out what he was doing with his life, and said, come live with us. Come live with us. Come to my table. And they included me in their life and in this, you know, and treated me really, in some ways, like a son. Someone who was still trying to discover what it looked like to follow Jesus. You know, it was early on in my faith journey. And they really were grounding for me, showed me what it looked like to be a couple following Jesus, how that looked every day, how their kindness, the chesed that they showed me of being part of their family. In fact, they even changed my name. So I don't know if you know, but I had a nickname, didn't I, Dennis? Yeah, I did. In fact, I had so much of a nickname that no one knew my name. No one actually knew my real name. I was Boner. That was my name. No one else knew my real name. I go to live with the pastor. Why? You might find that out later. I went to live with the pastor, and the pastor's wife said, I'm going to call you by your real name. And now no one even knows. See, I didn't even need to tell that story, Dennis. No one would have even known. Well, there's a few. But it's amazing how I feel like there's a transition for me, for actually allowing myself not to be that crazy character anymore, known by me. And chesed was shown to me in that way. Yeah. Family who didn't need to do that. He didn't need to do that. They were busy people. But they sure did open their family and their lives and their love to me. And made a massive difference in showing me how to live. This is the example that God's asking for us. This is the application. Now, this is a wonderful story, isn't it? That we saw. But when it comes down to God's asking us, who can you include? Who is it that you can show chesed to? Who is it around you that you could show and be family to? God has shown us his steadfast love that we can be included in his family. That is a love that cannot be held. It can't be prisoned. It's something that actually needs to flow. And so he says, where are you going to let that flow to others? Where are you going to let that flow to others? Let me pray. God, we thank you that you have always been in the business of including all, showing people your loving kindness, showing people your steadfast love, showing people that maybe they feel like they're on the outer, but they are in to you. Your sons and daughters, each one of us has experienced that, and we say thank you. But Lord God, we want the heart of the King. The heart of King David that was like your heart, God. I'd ask you, give us eyes to see the people around us that might be just needing a little bit of that. And give us the courage to step into that, God. Not just see, not just hear a nice story that makes us feel warm and fuzzy, but actually sacrifice in a way that you did for your glory. Amen.